We acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which the upcoming match is being played. We would also like to pay our respects to elders past and present.
Up goes Akers! Goal! Goal! Goal!
The bob, the dance step, bends it around to full forward, and needs the bounce, the bob, supreme, around the body! You are joking! Just like that!
The 2024 Toyota AFL Premiership season.
Brioli out of the pack, Sora one way, cut back, the shimmy of the shake of the make, hit it all, steps around the body, two goals in this quarter that has raised the roof. Here's the goal, got it, epic finish coming.
Every game, every week.
To Bailey in the pocket and kicks one of the great grand final goals.
This is the most beautiful game in the world we're watching. You just can't take your eyes off it.
Majacek in the front. Gardner knocked it away. Nick Dacos, lightning hands. Here's the Ngoi moment. He unloads. Bang! You need your stars. And Collingwood stars just went and wrenched the cup back.
For 4-20 Pies, Australia's original fan food. Welcome to AFL Nation.
Friday night footy here at Marvel. A pair of teams at 2-2, the Western Bulldogs and Essendon. The Dogs, well, they're fancied square with a ledger. The Dons a little less so after what they turned in Adelaide last Friday night. We'll see. It's a vital game. The Dogs absolutely have the wood over Essendon, and that stretches back many a year. We'll see tonight. It's a vital 4 points up for grabs. AFL Nation is for 4-20 Pies, Australia's original fan food and Repco authorised service. Jared Waitley with you. Jared Healy is with me. Hello, Jared.
Jared, look, it's great to be here and it's great to have the team back together. It's been a while since we worked together on a Friday night, given all the variations in the draw. And I've loved the start to the season. I know others have thought it hasn't settled yet, but I've absolutely loved it. And I'm looking forward to seeing what Essendon do tonight, because I thought they've been reasonably impressive at times this year, and then they've been horribly unimpressive. So they look like a ship that doesn't know which way it's sailing, and I think Brad Scott will be furious at that, and he'll want that sorted out. The other thing I'm really looking forward to, though, is the Bulldogs and their goal kicking. And I say that having a look across the ladder and looking at the Bulldogs, it's 11-14. I'm concerned about that because sitting next to me is a man who's been boasting each and every Wednesday night how transformational it has been, the goal kicking at the Western Bulldogs, and he's in charge of that. But at 11-14, I'd be ashamed to float it.
Footscray and Essendon in the VFL. It's lovely to have a curtain raiser.
Isn't it?
Yep. So there's a bit of a primer tonight to our Bulldogs discussion, because the Meat Bains is going to join us. Is if you grab your footy record on the way in,
yes,
the deep dive, the summer deep dive in all that transpired, the consultant and the chief executive have both had their say. We're going to reprise that here on air.
Well, I think he's underselling his input, because when I read consultant, it's not goal-kicking consultant. We understand it's all matters at the Dogs. In fact, I'm surprised that Amit's turning up. I thought he would have just said, Jono, you answer all those questions. You're the consultant.
He is here for MEGT. Let MEGT help you build a winning team. Brad Johnson, hello.
Good evening.
See, how we don't introduce you, so you have no right of reply.
Right. That's right. Nothing whatsoever. So the Bombers, let's focus on them right now.
No, can they sort their goal kicking out?
No, there's a guy next to me who they should implore to do that, Matthew Lloyd, but I think when you look at Essendon and their start to the year, their first two rounds, they went at 107 points, 101 points. They didn't win the game against the Sydney Swans, but they were going, and they were playing. St Kilda they played, and they had a good win against the Saints. And the Saints can do that, lock you away. But I thought Port Adelaide was that opportunity again for them to really, really get going. But because the focus, I think, has switched from the edge to pressure, they've lost that flow now, because they're conscious around what they're doing around contest to lock it in and to stop the opposition that way. So we may see it open up here at Marvel again tonight.
Well, they've got a few players that need to find their best form. Redmond is one who dominates on this ground. Mm. He's played some fantastic footy. He was going to go to Adelaide, but he decided to throw in all his chips, and he got plenty of them to stay with the Bombers. But he needs to find his form, and, you know, they got some issues with covering all the talls for the Bulldogs. So there's a lot of interesting elements to this game coming up.
Dwayne Russell is here. Hello to you, Dwayne-o.
Jared, team, yes. A lot of little tentacles coming off the end of this, and it's a beautiful chance to get here to Marvel and see a full house, which would be good if we can get close to 50. What do you think we're going to get here? It's already filling quickly. And we're probably going to get 45,000 plus, so it's nice for the two co-tenants. And, yeah, I don't think the eight's going to be big enough for the two of these.
Yep.
So it's almost an eight-point game.
Yeah, we spoke about that during the week. There's four genuine, I think, separation games this round. Last night was one. From a Melbourne point of view, now Brisbane closed the gap on them. Tonight's exactly that as well, in terms of the way that you can sort of just start to get that gap on the opposition, obviously in the physical nature of the points that we see, but also the mental approach of we've got you covered come the end of the year.
All right, so Amit Bain's going to join us shortly, so we'll talk the Bulldogs in some depth there, and we'll touch base with the Bombers as well. The freshest news is Charlie Cameron has been suspended for the dangerous tackle last night on Jake Lever. Picked him up, lifted him past the horizontal, one arm pinned, landed him on his head. It had the markers. He gets 1 week. Lever got up. He was fine, but the potential to cause injury is really obvious, and so he gets nailed with a week.
I'm happy with that. When I saw it last night, even live, you go, yep, he's going to be suspended for that. I thought it was a week off the back of Lever getting up straight away, and if he doesn't, it starts to go into that realms of threes and fours because of the nature of the way that he did tip him up and drive him down towards the ground.
Were you surprised that Toby Green got off? And more so, were you surprised that there was no explanation why he got off? Because I thought it was line ball. But no explanation, I think, is either tactical by the AFL or it's... I won't go as strong as I could, but it was not good enough for the public to understand this rule, which I think has ramifications all the way down to the lower reaches of the game.
I thought with Toby Green that he didn't drive like Charlie Cameron did. So therefore...
But his head still...
No, his head's
still
the ground.
An element of a slam tackle.
I agree with that. So it's set now, isn't it, though, in terms of, okay, the Toby Green action of just tackling someone from behind and bringing them down, pinning their arm but still bringing them down with a little element of force, and his head did hit the ground. He got
up. Andrew thought there was more than a little element.
But then you get... But I'm talking about where we sit now in terms of judging these incidents, because you've got Charlie Cameron who pops up and drives down and gets 1 week because Lever gets up and he's okay. So... That just sets now where we have to sit on these for the remainder of the
year. So you're telling me the horizontal, you go past that, that's the defining moment?
No, but it is that was last night's factor. Your point's really interesting, Jared, is by not prescribing what the Toby Green one was, it means it can never be entered as a precedent at tribunal hearings.
Yeah. That's the tactical element I'm talking about.
So if they prescribe it...
So
if they prescribe it and say, this is the reason why it's not a suspension, it's admissible. So you can use this in a like for like and say, hey, in this instance, this is what you said. If it's not prescribed, it can never be used.
What are we doing?
We're playing legalese is what we're playing there. So I'm like you, Jared. I'm super curious as to why Toby Green wasn't suspended. I don't know whether he should or he shouldn't, but I'd be really interested in what the differentiator was.
That's all I need and all I was asking for. And I think the footy world deserves that.
They were really specific not to give us that differentiator.
Well, we need it now off
but
the back they, of...
But from all reports, happy to background some journos.
Yeah, but seriously, now that we've had another one a week later, we need that because we're comparing two now. One that didn't and one that did, and because both players got up and were able to play on. So that becomes part of the assessment of what we're talking about.
Yeah, and I think Brisbane will be looking at the Toby Green one and saying, is it worth appealing? Because...
You can't use it.
Well, I know you can't use it. And maybe that needs to go to the higher court.
Is there a high court that we can go to in AFL?
Well, you can use it because it got off completely.
How?
So, well, you can say, well, this one is similar. No, he got off.
No, that's the tactic
It's written in the guidelines. You're going to only use precedent that has been prescribed.
So you can't use anything that's happened before in the season?
Not if it was, if it wasn't assessed. You
wasn't assessed.
Put it into, you can't have it as admissible.
Right, so we're heading down the direction of we can't ever get consistency because we've got these anomalies in the system where we're never going to get consistency if they continue to jump around the anomalies.
Well, I think what they're trying to do is not have precedence that helps you get off. And I don't know why.
But
because
it's
all about clarity.
To me, if it's happened, it's happened.
Of course.
If it's happened in an AFL game, it has happened. It is a precedent. But what, in a legal sense, if something's happened in the world, it's happened, isn't it? And then you can use it in the world or not?
Not in law?
Not so Toby Green
has to have gone to court for a legal person to use it in law. It has to have gone to court.
Each jurisdiction has its own, and this is what the AFL's jurisdiction, this is what they specifically chose, is if it was assessed, you could enter it. But if it's not assessed, it's not usable.
Yeah, and when we say it's not assessed, that doesn't mean it hasn't been looked at.
It was clearly looked at and cleared, but it wasn't prescribed as to what happened.
No, well, hang on, but if it's clearly looked at, that's my point. If it's clearly looked at and cleared, then that is a precedent to me.
I know
you're talking legally.
Yeah, not in the way that the tribunal system
But to me,
works.
If it's happened in the world of football in this year that we're in right now and it's been assessed visually and hasn't been given a suspension, then to me that's assessed.
Yeah, but you wouldn't be allowed to take that to the tribunal.
Because they've got the pedantics around it.
Yeah. Well, and that's really specific.
Yeah, so we're never really going to get consistency, are we? We're the Clarkson and Finlayson and what happened? What was the one earlier on the season that saw a player get off that we all knew he shouldn't have got off?
Oh, at the stoppage, the...
Yeah.
The hit to the head at the stoppage.
Yeah, it was at a stoppage, so all of a sudden, because it was at a stoppage, it wasn't off the ball.
If you're off the ball, you can do the same thing.
Hewitt versus Lachie Neale.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so we have that. But that's the fun of the game, I suppose, isn't it? It's a beautiful world we live in when there's so many grey areas to play with.
It's untimely for Charlie.
Oh, really untimely and disappointing. Charlie's had a poor season, but he had a good game last night. It looked like he got his mojo back. Looked like the new teeth fired him up. He got the mouth guard and the new chompers, which is fantastic. But they've got Geelong, and they're getting their season back on track. And Charlie's such an important part of that group. And they played him well, played him higher up the ground. They moved the ball better. Everything looked terrific for the Brisbane. They couldn't have played better. And if they had have had a better start to the season right now, they'd be premiership favourites. Mm. But on the basis of that performance. We know that's not how it works, but... Gee, if you're down in the Geelong camp, I know they only take it one game at a time, but they'd be pretty happy to know that Charlie's not going to be troubling them.
Yep, so a one-week suspension for Charlie Cameron. We'll run the rule over all that took place last night shortly, but Amit Baines from the Bulldogs is going to join us. This is actually quite an important VFL game, isn't it, Jono, with some of what's running round for the Dogs, with Lobb and with Daniel and with Poulter.
Yeah, absolutely. There's some key senior players. Harms is out there as well. Garcia is an emergency tonight as well. So it is because the list is healthy. So the competition for spots is really high at the moment. So you'd want to be playing well at VFL level, but AFL level in particular, because you can be moved out pretty quickly.
How's Caddy been playing? I haven't been watching it. Has Caddy been playing okay for the Bombers?
I haven't noticed.
We were discussing last night, Jono, the why. And the why is why is McRae not in the team and why is Caleb Daniel not in the team? I mean, it's just not because of team balance, etc. I suspect it's probably got something to do with speed. This game now requires you to run from back flank to forward flank and back and back and back, etc. And the quicker you can do it, the better. And everybody's entitled to have one mid-pace player through the middle of the ground. Tom Mitchell was second in the Norm Smith last year, playing that vital role. But to have two guys, such decorated players out, it's clearly been a plan, and it started to be implemented last year, and it's fully fledged now.
Well, it's one or the other at the moment, and I think that's
they're both out now, aren't they?
No, well, McRae plays tonight, so... So I think that's where they may have got to it at selection, Jared. And I don't know whether McRae will start as sub or what he'll do, or whether O'Donnell will coming straight into the lineup, and we'll wait to see what happens there. But I think that's where they get to now, because Daniel he's a different player. And I thought when he did start a sub and got that hit between the eyes and, you know, a bit of that reality check of, okay, this is going to be, you have to fight through this. He has showed some good spark. He got plenty of footy and away he went. And then he just been out of form. And yeah. I think it's purely a form thing for Caleb Daniel. He is an excellent player. He's a good user of the ball. He just is a player that's out of form. And there's some others that have come into the Bulldogs lineup that are younger and just keeping him out at the moment. Mm. I think he'll fight through it. I think come the back half of the year, you'll see Caleb Daniel needs to become an important player for the club again for them to have a serious tilt at some finals footy.
Where do you like him best?
I like him across that sort of half back, but maybe starting wing and then getting half back and then get your pure runners up on the wing. You need speed on the wings these days, but I think his use across that sort of half back area is really important for the Bulldogs. They've got the pace and the runners there, but he's got that little bit of composure and 25-metre dart that he can set up ball movement with.
Do you think it was a mistake for Harms to take up the role?
No.
No?
No, no.
Do you think there's a spot for Harms?
There's definitely a spot for Harms. Yep. He was flying early and then out of the side with, was it injury or suspension?
Suspension
for Harms. And then he's just battled to
Liverpool kiss
get
for memory.
In. And that was it. And so you've got, and it's just the fact that Sanders is going so well, I think, in his early part of his career, that it's just you can't play them all. And they've got a lot of them. So therefore it becomes it just becomes one of those selection things that you've got to keep pushing the door down. And Harms is playing well out here tonight, and he'll always do that at VFL level, and he's just got to wait for his opportunity to come.
Daniel's had 14 to three-quarter time, and Caddy's had 11 and kicked the goal.
Okay.
And he lined up sort of in the forward pocket at the start of the last quarter.
Yeah, Brad Scott was talking about it 3 weeks ago, so it's been on the edge. His emergency again for tonight's game, but I think the world wants to see him, and the Bombers fans are sort of a little frustrated. 2-2, it's a funny thing to be frustrated at 2-2. They're not too badly placed, but tonight's a big game.
It is. Is that they gained a few credits, Essendon, and they just spectacularly gave them back on one night.
Port might be okay, and they might have had a mulligan. Who knows?
That's the one rider on what happened last week is I suspect Port will make a mess of the middling teams over there.
And you've said that before, so it's not like you've made that up this week.
But it is a true test as a club, because you know you mightn't be good enough, but it's how far the gap is and where you sit there. And the gap's big for Essendon v a top four team at this current point.
We've seen teams lose by 100 points in a game and win a flag they haven't won in a season.
Yeah, that happened. St Kilda smashed Richmond out here. Crazy stuff can happen. Many years ago. But now we're talking about I'm personally talking about the clubs that are up the top and the ones that are in the middle.
It's our business to sort of analyse things closely when it's 1 week.
Yep.
But look, even Brisbane at the start of the year, people were saying, well, they can't win. Hipwood's no good, all that kind of stuff. So you can turn things around.
Essendon were going undefeated in 2002. We tried something completely different out here to get under their skin and beat them.
And so teams have won, I think, the first 10 or 11 games in a season and still not won the flag before. So
Melbourne.
Yeah, Adelaide did it 1 year under Neil Craig, I think.
I remember the Herald Sun had a photo of a premiership cup that Adelaide were going to be given when they had the flood under Neil Craig. When it was his first year from memory, they had the flood, and no one could get through the flood. And the premiership was essentially given to the Crows, and yet halftime in a prelim final, it looked as if the West Coast were going to go down to the Crows, and yet they worked out a way to get through the flood, and they handballed their way through. Mm. And that was the end of the flood, essentially, and the Premiership Cup went to the West.
Thank God for that as well. Imagine if they won with a flood, what the competition would have looked like the following year.
What did you think of last night?
I think the simple answer to that is Brisbane came ready mentally, physically, and Melbourne were off in all elements of the game. I don't, you know, I know all the numbers and the champion data analytics will paint a picture of demise for Melbourne, but they were mentally not ready. And they came up against a side that were, challenged both by their ladder and their ambition. And Lachie Neal's 250th, I'm not sure if that impacts, but they were just hot and red hot. And Melbourne were cold in many ways. And I thought the coach introduced a couple of really interesting sidelines, like the wingman coming in and going on to Petrarca. I think Kingy's rattled enough cages around the place, and the top 10 damaging players are going to get some more shadowing, and I think that's a natural evolution. I mean, if you're going into a game and you don't think your mids are as good as their mids, why would you just play against them. It was so fascinating last week, Port Adelaide versus the Bombers. I mean, it was as good a half of footy as I've ever seen played as a midfielder from Rosie, and yet he ran around by himself for a half. It was quite phenomenal.
He hadn't destroyed anyone that
brilliantly. Few have, Dwayne. Few have.
I know.
That's
the performance, I think, that's going to change the way people look at Rosie now.
Wow, it was unbelievable, that performance, yeah.
He's done it for halves. He's done it for quarters. He's done it in Port losses.
Yeah.
But hang on, we better start looking at Rosie.
Yep. So Melbourne have got some issues. And, I mean, Hoiney and I know Joey Montagna did it on 360. They exposed some of Melbourne's issues. But to me, the major issue on the weekend was it three games in 13 days? I'm not sure. It didn't impact on Max Gawn. That's the interesting thing, because Max was up and about and he had full energy. But Melbourne just looked like they lacked energy from the first minute.
I interviewed Chris Fagan before the game. So this is why I agree with what you're saying. Because you know when the coach walks up to you and you just go, oh, you know, how you going? Big game tonight.
Yeah.
And he goes, he looked at me and goes, you know, John, it is a big game for us tonight. And a coach doesn't normally respond like that when you just throw that sort of, you know, that general one out to them to just to say good day. So I think you're right in terms of the way he had prepared them
grand
mentally. Yeah, exactly right.
I mean, you're not winning the grand final most of the time, 99% of the time, if you're not in the top four. And if you're going to win make the top four, they have to win some of these games against other sides competing for the top four.
But their ball movement was there. Well, their inside 50 kicks was the focus. Was last week against North Melbourne, was again last night. And they got it right. They got it right in terms of they went back on Lever and May at stoppage. So therefore, if it was a quick kick out, they could come forward at the ball. They didn't get caught in between. So Lever and May could get the jump on them. And then when they did break out with speed, it was the quick dart and hit up. And it worked so well. From their execution of game plan in that first quarter, that was perfect. And they just built confidence.
And I think that the competition will go to school on that. I mean, I still vividly remember Melbourne versus Carlton and Charlie Curnow just not being able to figure out what to do with Stephen May. He got just totally schooled.
Yep.
And yet I think we all saw the best way to do it. But it does mean you've got to get some swift ball movement. And the other thing that stood out to me last night, and I've been waiting for this bloke to do this for a fair period of time, Cam Rayner's midfield performance, particularly the first quarter. It was a modest game after that, but he did the destruction work in that first quarter. I think it was 6 clearances and 12-odd possessions. Had 25 for the game. He's a number one draft pick. So that was a game of a number one draft pick. And, you know, if he can produce that or mimic that a fair bit more throughout the season, takes a bit of heat off Lachie Neal. And then their midfield just totally dominated a great midfield.
Their tackling last night, they were strong.
Yeah.
Brisbane, and that was the talk in the rooms post-game, was how good do we tackle? How was our ferocity at the opposition? And, yeah, the other things that we love to watch and see in the game were perfect, but also, you know, internally then what their real focuses are when they start talking like that after a win and the excitement's in the room and you get to, they let a little bit slip in terms of, you know, the exact nature of how they set themselves up to play.
I was told that Clayton Oliver was going to go in for an operation on his hand. Not sure if that's been confirmed or not, but that's what I was told. Whether or not it happens today, tomorrow, or the next day, but you'd expect that something's got to change there.
That's going to be right. Yeah. So maybe played one too many. Might even played two too many.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think they've got the bye coming up, haven't they? Yeah.
So they were trying to lift the bye, weren't they?
Yeah, but it didn't work. He's lost his confidence with in and around the ball, and I think he may have a bit of a crook foot as well. So he needs a spell.
Yeah, he lost his drive through the contest. Yeah. That's what he's like. Because he was like that early on in his career where he'd get the ball and just flick it out quickly and turnover, whereas he got that drive through, which just elevated his performance. And last night, even the one when Cameron stole from the handball from Oliver deep, where he just sort of sat on his heels
wasn't
and
a good steal,
just flicked it off. Yeah. And it was just an easy read by Cameron and a nice finish.
What do you think of the Answorth taunt of Perry, Petty?
Yeah, no, it wasn't. It's not great. Yeah, like, you just didn't need to. Just didn't need to do it. And everyone says you're caught up in the emotion of the game. There was no emotion in the game. Brisbane had it clearly wrapped up. So he just saw an opportunity as an opposition player to really rub it in. And he tried. And I don't think it didn't seem to worry Petty on the ground. He was sort of... It'd be interesting to talk to Petty about it because it's sort of...
Petty was speaking to him.
Yeah, it was
In the 2 or 3 seconds before.
It was.
Petty was wordy to Rayner.
But it was more, to Rayner, was it?
Petty was wordy to Answorth.
Yeah.
In that Answorth, they were looking at each other, and Petty was talking to him. Now, he might have said nothing serious, but
I think he said, what are you doing? Because he missed the goal. So Answorth was up in his grill pushing. He's like, what are you doing, mate?
When you have Banter, and then he opened the door for Banter back. Yeah. That's, I suppose. Yeah. And Answorth went over the line. But you're opening the door for Banter back if you're in that situation. There's been many a champion that's played the game with their mouth shut for 100 minutes.
Mm. There's no love lost between those two player groups, that's for sure.
That's
the Hyundai Staria load van fits in everything from 49,490 drive away. T's and C's apply. The Bulldogs chief executive about to join us for the pregame show for Beaumont Tiles. Beaumont's massive bathroomware sale is on right now. Friday night footy, the Western Bulldogs and Essendon come together at Marvel. Jared Waitley, Jared Healy, Brad Johnson, Dwayne Russell with you. AFL Nation is for 4 and 20 pies. You can't have footy without a 4 and 20 pie and Repco authorised service. The Western Bulldogs chief executive, Amit Bains, is with us. Amit, great to have you on AFL Nation.
Thanks for having me, Jared.
What do you make of your 2 and 2 start?
Yeah, obviously disappointing last week to not find an extra goal against Geelong. But, you know, a lot to take out of the game. Obviously, you know, finished the game right to the final siren. Sam Darcy's Rising Star nomination and some strong performances. So, much prefer to be 3 and 1, but 2 and 2 and an opportunity to get that third win tonight.
Is there a bit changing? A bit changing within the way you play? There's clearly changes within personnel we're seeing out on the VFL field at the moment. A few who we would anticipated would have been in the seniors.
Yeah, definitely from a personnel perspective, there has been a bit of change. Great that some of the younger players are getting some opportunity. And obviously some new players in the team from a trade perspective as well. And I think by virtue of that change in composition, the game style can change a little bit as well, particularly from an athletic perspective.
Do you find your soft cap being stretched a bit with the new consultant goal-kicking coach?
Yeah, I had to sign off on a blindfolds order the other day, Jared. I don't know.
Come
it was
on.
Very excessive.
It must be good to have the no old legend mention. Back in the camp, though.
No, it is. You know, clearly, from a club perspective, he's an icon of the club, and everyone loves him from a Bulldogs perspective, but on a personal level too, so it's great to see him from time to time.
You had a fair bit of focus on your off-field examination of the club. Did you find you got to the right level there, and was the questioning reasonable?
Yeah, no, absolutely. We finished last year in really disappointing fashion, as everyone knows. So it did require a harder look at things. So as you've referenced, we conducted an internal review initially, which resulted in quite a bit of change, both from a program perspective, playing perspective, and then Peter Jackson came on board to look at some of the off-field aspects of what we do as well, environment, culture, structure, process, those things. So we feel we had a really comprehensive look at things over a number of months, have made a lot of changes and adjustments, and feel that with a combination of the new staff and the new setup, we're really well placed as we went into this season.
Does the coach sort of give you an outline as to when he thinks you can win the next flag?
Yeah, well, I mean, you all know Luke really well. Yep. He's a very optimistic guy. So, you know, going into the start of each season, he's really optimistic about what the capability of the team is, and we feel the same. So from that perspective, you know, every year we start the year with that as the ambition and the aim, and Bevo really coaches it accordingly.
If the Eagles offered you 2 first-round draft picks for English, would you take them?
Look, Tim is progressing really well in terms of staying at
the
club.
That's why you get 2 first-round draft picks. We know he's a good player.
No, look, and I'm sure you ask about the other boys as well, with all the guys that are out of contract, particularly those high-profile ones, we're really keen to see them continue on at the Bulldogs. And I think the starting premise is when you've got really good players, you've got to keep them.
Mm. What about 1 and 3?
How do they get the 3?
Well, they might have to trade a couple out as well. So you've actually talked about it.
Oh, look, no, the starting point is you've always, you know, hell-bent on retaining the players. And in the back of the discussions, particularly from a list management point of view, obviously Sam Power and his team aren't doing their job if they're not looking at all of the different eventualities for all of our players, but also the players that we're trying to bring into our club.
Yep.
So how close are you with Jamara?
Jamara's really close as well. I think with both Jamara and Tim, the positive aspect of where we're at is they both want to stay at the club, and they've articulated that. It's not done till the deal's done, and there's obviously some back and forth on that, but that's a really healthy starting point.
So are we talking short term with both?
that you'll have short term, you'll have agreements in the short term for the long term, if you know what
yes.
I mean.
Hopefully, that's the anticipation. I think, you know, with Gather Round and a few other bits and pieces, everyone's been all over the place. So hoping with some stability and normality in terms of weeks and things that progress can be made.
So what happens with Bailey Smith, who's a different case given he's injured?
Yeah, look, Bailey is a different case. He started running back within the program this week, which is a really significant milestone for him. Our approach with that has been to offer a contract to him. We're really keen to retain him. He's had that, but at the same time, we don't want to put any undue pressure on him, knowing that the physical parts of his rehab and the next few weeks are really important for him. So he's been a really positive person around the club the last couple of weeks, particularly this week with, you know, coming back and being able to run again, which has been significant.
Has he given you any indication of his intentions?
No.
Yeah.
Should the coach be the highest paid person in the football department or the number one player? And let's bear in mind that the Bond is the number one player.
It's a very good question. I think probably the best player, and we would say we're the best player in the game. Yeah. So there would be something amiss if he wasn't the highest paid player in the club.
Okay. Where does it sit from a club point of view then as a whole? We're speaking a little bit on field where players might be at, but the club as the whole, it seems like it's settled, good membership, it's rising all the time, infrastructure's in place and still developing. How's it all sit from your point of view?
Yeah, I mean, the non-football aspects of where we're at, we're really pleased with, and there's been, you know, great progress, a lot of work done probably in the last decade, pre my time as well. And as you say, I think within 2 months we'll have our redevelopment completed at, you know, an $80 million facility that will be wonderful for everyone, not just from a football perspective. Membership, you know, well on track to 60,000 in our record. So those things are going great, but we know that from our fans' perspective that what happens out on the park with our teams still carries the most importance, you know, particularly from an emotional perspective. So that's been the focus of the summer, and despite the disappointment of last week, you know, we're really happy with where things have landed.
You're a bit like some clubs, other clubs with limited access to seats. Like the West Coast Eagles have got a big membership base, and the Optus Stadium only holds around 60,000 for memory. Is that a disincentive for clubs that use this as a home base that to progress from the 60s to get up to the hundreds?
No, I don't think it is, because both Essendon, as you would know, Essendon and Carlton play most of their home games here currently. I think Essendon are 7-4 and Carlton might be 6-5. Yep. So, you know, there's a lot to like about that West Coast model where there's also an under supply and you've got that demand because it means that, you know, even if you're performing poorly, you've got to keep your membership or you'll lose it.
Yep.
So there's a bit each way. I think what's been really terrific with the redevelopment here has been the upgrades, but even as you'll get a sense for pre-game, the ability for the home team now to really amp up what happens pre-game from a lighting LED atmospheric perspective. So I think that's an important step forward in, from a fan perspective, coming to a venue like this and feeling like it's your home ground.
Is there anything over the first 4 weeks that you're looking to take to the AFL that you're either extremely happy with, or you think, there's some things here that we, as a club, and that we're seeing within the game and within the structure of the game that might need just a conversation about?
Not in a any significant way, Jono. I think there are elements that we've been watching. I know this week there's a bit more discussion around the ARC and the score review, just around a seemingly higher number of those over Gather Round. So there are a few isolated things like that, but by and large, I think we're pretty comfortable with where things sit, and the major focus is getting our stuff right.
Did someone from the club follow up around the ARC intervention on your game that led to the Stengel goal?
In an informal way, I think, you know, Luke's comments, Bevo's comments straight after the game in his press conference were really good, I thought, in terms of just acknowledging that the score review as a system is a good system, and we've just got to have faith in what gets decided, which partly I think goes to the point that we wouldn't want that to be seen, if it were the wrong decision, we wouldn't want that to be seen as the reason why we lost the game, because it wasn't.
Can I ask you about when you decided to go with Riley Sanders? Clearly the Devils are coming in. Was that a consideration?
No, I think you're obviously cognizant of it, absolutely, but it wasn't. And as you recall, we traded our first round pick from this year out to have the opportunity to pick up Riley. So it was quite a quite a courageous move in that sense, given what you're saying. But ultimately, whether it's Riley or the other players that you referenced earlier, you've got to back yourself as a club to create the atmosphere and environment where they want to stay. And he's been a terrific addition to the program, not only just from what he's been able to do in a short period of time as a player, but certainly from a cultural perspective, a real driver of standards.
Caught up with Nathan Eagledon in Gather Round, which was always good to catch up with an old teammate. His son was part of the Father Son Academy recently. Is there any more Father Sons on the horizon?
Yeah, we've been pretty stiff with Father
Sons. And daughters, I should say, as well. And daughters?
No, there are. I mean, there are a number in the system. We've obviously been very fortunate to benefit from that. As you're watching the VFL out here today, you're getting a look at Jordan Croft, who is only second game in, but, you know, is a good size, moves well, and obviously a number of guys playing in the senior team. So there's always an ongoing debate about the equity of the draft and Father Sons and academies. And, we're pretty happy with the tradition of Father Sons and Father Daughters, obviously Izzy Grant playing in our W team as well.
And a couple of rising stars too in a row, which is impressive for the developing group.
Yeah, it's been really pleasing. I think, you know, obviously there's been a bit of a squeeze for spots at different times and you know, outsiders are quite rightly trying to understand how they've come about. But then, you know, you look at a Riley Sanders who's going really well, Harvey Gallagher, who was the rising star the week before, and you can see why they're getting a game at the moment. And, Sam Darcy, just thrilled for him to have had a full pre-season. Clearly a lot of ability, doesn't move like a 209-centimetre man. But to get the continuity has been great for him, and to get some reward for that last week was terrific.
Norton forward or back, Bainesy?
Forward. I think Bevo answered that well during the week. He had a poor game last week, let's be honest, compared to his standards. But the previous week down at Ballarat, where he's others flying, like Cody, you know, kicked six and was the beneficiary, he had 15 score involvements. And I think it's the work that he does in the contest that brings others into the game. And, you know, again, it's only a short sample size, but both Jonesy and Buku, Jared, who I know you're always a fan of.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Buku's.
I reckon, ask me a question about Buku each time I'm on.
I'm pleased that you kept
him. Now that he's in.
I'm pleased that you kept him, because I reckon there's about three clubs should have picked him up, and he's proving that assessment right.
He's been terrific. So James O'Donnell's obviously back in the team tonight as well, which is great. He had a bit of injury interruption as the game started. So we've got a few options, and even out here tonight with Gardner back in the VFL and Keith as well. So I think for the moment, forward's the best slot for him.
So selection's the coach's remit. Can you have too much of your salary cap running around in a VFL team?
Oh, yeah, you absolutely can if it becomes a sustained thing. I think the challenge with contracting into space I've obviously worked in as well is that there's always a lag with how things work. And you'll all know players, and Jared and Jono will have played with players who in the last year of their contracts found a leg that they didn't necessarily have in the previous 2 years. And then, you know, they're on their contract for the next 3 years based on that 1 year, and do they maintain that performance? So there's always swings and roundabouts. But again, Sam and the team are, you know, all over the different aspects of what we've got going. You know, watching Caleb out here tonight, wouldn't expect that he'd be playing too many VFL games across the year. It's just about finding the right balance for the right opponent.
Amit, good to have you with us. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, gents.
Amit Baines, the Chief Executive of the Western Bulldogs. Our travel partner is Melbourne Airport Parking. Nothing beats parking at Melbourne Airport. Book online for the best rates at melbourneairport.com.au. Dan McPherson is going to join us from the Bombers next. The AFL Nation pre-game show for Beaumont's Bathroom Wear Sale. AFL Nation is for 4 and 20 Pies, Australia's original fan food and Repco authorised service. The VFL game has finished. Footscray 16-18, 114 defeated Essendon 12-8-80. And it's good fun to see a curtain raiser, isn't it, Jared? It's good fun to see a curtain raiser.
Oh, I love the curtain raiser. I think it's been a real shame that it's disappeared, but clearly there is some costs involved and whatever those costs are, they can't be that restrictive. John, I think it's great to come here. And whilst there's not enough people here to justify it, that's the problem. And there's probably 5,000 people here maybe. And we're expecting 50,000 or close to. But it's great for us to get here and see the players that we've got some interest in.
Yeah, it's more second half, isn't it, that the crowd start to come in. And look, the Dogs have tried at the same time to play at the Witten Oval as the a bit earlier, and then people go watch that and then head towards Marvel for the, you know, 5K down the road for the double header. But, you know, it's just tougher these days to get the full crowd in early to watch the VFL team with a reasonable, 10,000 plus people.
Maybe if they made a good decision and started it at 7:30 or a bit earlier, that people would get here earlier.
Mm.
I'll listen to you blokes. You wouldn't know, honestly. You never played reserves, you two.
What are you talking about?
It is good to play a curtain raiser. Look, you asked a question
to
someone who played reserves.
No,
you
I
two
played
wouldn't
reserves.
Have played reserves.
You're kidding
Give
me.
Us a spell.
Jared never played reserves. I played reserves.
Played one game.
You played one game of reserves. There you go.
Didn't do it
That's
again.
Exactly what I'm talking about.
And that was in his 15th year.
I reckon he was complaining it would have been one too many as well.
Yeah. I played.
Played a few twos, did you?
No, I played, I played 16 straight up in my first year. Okay. So, and that was all at the, you know, pre-game.
What number did you make your debut in?
33.
Yep. Nice.
Yep. Dwayne, you're better off playing twos as an 18-year-old because you know you're in a good club. You're trying to battle your way into a good team rather than, getting... Well, getting Tucky, an easy spot.
Tucky played 100 or so for Hawthorn.
Oh, played 20, yeah.
And the 429 odd that he played in the AFL.
It seems pretty clear that the Bulldogs are English and Jamara are both re-signing.
Would seem that way, wouldn't it? Yeah. And I'm not sure whether that's disappointment for the Eagles, whether they're having a crack at him or not, but it does sound as if they've locked them away, which all chips in now. They've got so much tall height that it's, they're as well placed as anybody for the talls. They've just now got to maintain the smalls, get the recruiting right, and just fill in the spots around them.
Do you want to answer your own question? Would you take two first-round picks for English?
Yeah, I would. Yeah.
And do you think the highest...
First round, one would have to be in the top five.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, the reason is because they're so well stocked for tools.
Mm, that's true.
I mean, you've got Lob out here who could be, a first ruckman. We saw last night, Dwayne, the best ruckman in the game.
Yeah, you get a million hit-outs and it doesn't really amount to much.
We've had that discussion many times about the value of the hit-out, haven't we, over the years?
Well, to answer your other question, who should be the highest paid person in your footy department, your best player or your coach?
Well, obviously it depends on the coach.
Best player.
But to me, the best player,
Yeah, I agree with that.
Wouldn't be the case at all clubs, though, would it?
Clarko? I think probably at most clubs it would be, but not all.
Mm.
I can think of a couple that wouldn't be.
Clarko, maybe. Chris Scott would have to be on a fairly good wage.
Yeah, the soft cap plays such a significant role in that. Yeah.
But you now don't you get 50% of the...
Not 50%.
No?
You get a small portion outside.
Yeah.
But... that's what I'm a firm believer. The senior coach wage should be outside the cap. They should clearly be the highest paid person at the football club for what they shoulder.
Yeah.
For the modern burden that it is, and for the strategic direction.
Yeah, it's more than just coaching, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting with the soft cap. I mean, some coaches are clearly keen to, get the maximum, but other coaches know that their longevity in the game depends on. Hmm. Which five or six people they've got behind them, and they should be paid more to get the most out of them. And I think that system is the one that probably stacks up the highest.
But the system of the assistants needs to change, and we've been saying this for years, but it has to change quickly because I think there's too big of a gap for what they provide
assistants.
As assistant coaches and what they actually... get paid, and it varies at every club. We know
but there
that,
are assistants on the low 100s, and that's a tenth of what the senior coach is getting.
Yeah, compared to what the senior coach is, and the senior coach's salary being outside of that will allow the assistants to actually get paid, I think, what their true value should be within the biggest game in Australia.
Mm. Yeah, I was surprised when I asked a football manager last week what some of his assistants are getting, and they got a one in front of it, and it's not close to two. It's closer to one.
Mm.
So it's big dollars if your options are, you've got no other job. But it's not big dollars comparatively to what...
To everything else in the game.
What everyone's getting paid in this business.
That's right.
I mean, the CEOs are on over $1 million in some clubs, and most of them are on significantly close to $1 million. It's all through the roof. And when you see the salary caps, 15 this year and going up to 18 within 2 or 3 years, it's going exponentially through the roof.
So if you could pay whatever they deserve for a coach, what would Chris Scott be worth for a club right now? What would Ross Lyon be worth?
Free market.
Hmm. If Tassie could pay whatever they needed to pay for a coach.
Of that level, you're probably looking at a couple of mil.
Yeah, I think given the economics within each club environment, I think fair value for the best coaches would be $2 million.
Mm.
And I reckon there's only two coaches max that are on $1 million. I don't think it's anywhere near that. Given
if we're talking about a senior coach being on $2 million, and what is the ideal number for his assistants then? Because that plays a part in all of this, because the salary cap for the players is going up to 18 mil.
Assistants around Ross Lyon. Ross Lyon's got some really good credentialed games played and achievements-wise, some pretty good assistants.
Yeah.
They could be, you know, out there in the corporate world earning 200, probably, or 160 or 170 at least, and yet they're choosing to be a full-time football person for, what, 160, 150, because they love footy so much, or they love being in Ross Lyon, or they just want their club to be successful for the first time in 60-odd years?
I think within the realms of where the game is going and what we're talking about now, that it has to be 250 to 300s for these assistant coaches in the competition.
Brad Johnson, Jared Healy with you tonight. The Hyundai Staria load van fits in everything from 49,490 drive away. T's and C's apply. Sync our call up, the SEN Sync, as part of the SEN app. Watch the TV pictures while listening to the AFL Nation commentary. Thanks to Drinkwise. You won't miss a moment if you drink wise. The pregame show for Beaumont Tiles. Beaumonts have everyday low prices. Tiles from 1995. Friday night footy pits the Bulldogs against the Bombers on AFL Nation for 4 and 20 pies. You can't have footy without a 4 and 20 pie and Repco authorised service. Jared Waitley, Dwayne Russell, Jared Healy, Brad Johnson with you. Dan McPherson is the GM of footy at the Bombers. He's with us. Dan, great to have you on AFL Nation.
G'day, Jared. Thanks for having me.
Has it been a sharp week after the events of last Friday night?
Yeah, well, it was obviously a very disappointing performance that we put up over in Adelaide last week. So, it wasn't too different from the structure that we normally have and the process that Brad goes through to review the game. And and obviously once we get to Monday, it's a quick turnaround back here tonight. So, it was business as usual, but there was certainly a lot of detail in the review that the guys went through with the players on Monday and Tuesday.
How do you address the level of performance? So 202 was your pressure in the first quarter, Dan, and it dropped off dramatically from there.
Yeah, it was really disappointing in that, the things that have been working for us quite well in the first 3 weeks really let us down on the weekend, and mainly stoppage and our centre bounce work. We were still able to get our hands on the ball in the ruck, but just completely outplayed, at the hands of a couple of pretty good players. We're unable to match them in there, and then that clearly adds to other parts of the game. The ball's flying out of the middle. Puts enormous pressure on the midfield, on the defender, sorry. We're on the back foot from there.
Is part of that personnel as well, Dan? I know with the injuries that are starting to sort of accumulate.
Oh, it is to a degree, Brad, but like I said, Rosie was just exceptional, particularly in the first half, and set the game up, and then Horn Francis got up and running, and their power and strength out of the middle of the grounds put us on the back foot. So, we've been pretty competent in that area of the ground. We lost Archie Perkins in the third quarter, which hurt us a little bit, but, we've still got guys in there that we're really confident in. They just didn't have their best weeks, and the Port Adelaide guys, we must give them credit. They're outstanding.
Is it your role, Dan, to bring together a conversation around what is happening with soft tissue, and I know the external chat around that as well? Is that part of your role to just start to assess that and work through that?
Yeah, naturally, my role is to sort of oversee everything within the footy department, and obviously work very closely with Brad in doing that. We dig deeply every time we have an injury, obviously, and we certainly don't want recurrences, and we don't want any more of our fit players getting injured. So, every time we get an injury, we deep dive into that, and we've certainly done that over the last few weeks. And we're pretty confident that the guys that are out at the moment will be back soon enough, and we can't wait for that.
Did you play too much of a handball game last week, or was that just what Port Adelaide gave you?
Yeah, I think there was a bit of that. I think we invited their pressure. And again, they were very good, particularly once they got a bit of momentum. They got the crowd behind them over there. And, overwhelmed us a little bit. And again, the pressure is what we've been pretty good at the first 3 weeks. And I think we started the game really well. Well, the first quarter and a half, we're pretty happy with how the game was looking. And then they kicked 3 goals in the last 3 or 4 minutes before half time, and built that momentum, and then come out pretty hard after half time that we weren't able to go with them.
How are things internally, Dan? The stability just seems like from the outside, purely looking in, that everything seems like stable and calm at the moment.
It is, yeah, absolutely. It is. It's, we're 2-2. It feels like we're in a bit of a crisis, if you listen to all the noise outside. Clearly, there's a couple of injuries that we'd rather not have. We're at round 5. We're 2-2. We've been beaten by 2 pretty good teams in a state. We're really confident. We're really happy with the people that we've got in the place. As you mentioned, stability's, really comfortable with that. Everyone's working well together. We just want to get the results on the field.
So what is the focus tonight, Dan?
Well, obviously, the Bulldogs are really proficient and very strong in the centre bounce as well. So we need to get those guys, our guys, to work in that area of the ground. So big responsibility on Drapes and Goldie to give us first look at it. And then the boys in there, really get to work. Bond and Libba in particular were both, again, very good last week. So it'll be a collective to try and look after those guys. And then, there's obviously the others, Treloar, and other guys run through there as well. So, yeah, it'll start in the middle, which it, typically does, naturally. But if we think we can get the ball going our way from the centre bounce, it'll give us a real good look at the game.
Everybody defaults to there, we're going to look after these guys collectively. And to a large degree, Brisbane did that last night with, Petrarca, etc. But it was a little bit more structured last night. Do you think we're heading to that zone?
In terms of the stopping the midfielders?
Yeah.
I think there's certainly matchups that work between particular teams. And sometimes we do that if we think we've got someone in particular that can match up really well on an individual. In other cases, we think it's probably better if we go with a group mentality rather than just put the job into one person's hands. I think history would suggest Marcus Bonampelli is a pretty hard man to stop one-on-one if it just gets one person to do that job. So, yeah, it's a responsibility that all our midfielders will have a part.
Have you been happy with the new recruits to the club?
Say that again, sorry.
Have you been happy with the way the new recruits have jumped into the club?
Yeah, we have. No, we think they've done an exceptional job. Benny McKay gives us a lot of stability behind the ball, which we haven't had. We certainly didn't have last year as much. Dersma, his last 2 weeks in particular have been really strong. His game against St Kilda here and again back against his old team in Adelaide last week were outstanding. He's giving us a bit of help in defence, and he's also providing great run through the middle of the ground and helping us get the ball inside 50. Gresham had some class forward and has been able to get on the end of a couple. Kicked 3 goals early in the game last week, which helped having the game look the way we wanted it to. And Todd Goldstein's been terrific, both at training and the way he started the season. His ability to educate Drapes on the run at training and Nick Bryan, who just played in the VFL, has been unbelievable. And, he's been able to show those guys the way, not only just how to play the game, but also prepare and train. And the standards that he sets at training through the week have been terrific.
Dan, the one thread that keeps coming through from the champion data analysts of this world is that you're really struggling to restrict turnover ball and not get scored against when you turn it over. Do you acknowledge that, and are you doing work on it? What sort of things are we looking to change to neutralise that?
Yeah, certainly we acknowledge it, absolutely. It's hard to ignore it. We're working really hard on when we take the ball forward, and particularly inside 50, how we structure up behind the ball, the areas of the ground that we cover off, and if the opposition are to gain momentum or gain possession of the ball, which areas are available to them to take it back out. Obviously, if we can slow them and force them wide, it just gives us a chance to set up the ground a bit better.
Yep.
And if we open ourselves up through the middle of the ground, it bounces back pretty quickly.
Dan. Great to have you with us. Thanks a lot. Good luck tonight.
Thanks, Jared. Thanks, guys.
Dan McPherson is the GM of footy at the Bombers. While we were chatting, the subs came through. So Nick Hines, the sub for Essendon. Bailey Dale's the sub for the Dogs.
It's another surprise, I suppose, isn't it?
Big surprise.
Yeah.
Probably reflects Bailey's form, but
that's what it is.
Bailey Dale is such a good player at his best.
Well, you look
at
over the year so far, it's been Caleb Daniel, it's been Jack McRae, and now it's Bailey Dale.
He's been warned.
Well, there's warning signs everywhere. Yeah, that you we're a healthy list, and you want to be playing well and doing the right things to secure your spot.
But like you think of the Dogs for the last how many years? He's, you know, if you're writing down weapons for the Dogs, He's on the podium, and he's actually on the pine tonight, not the podium.
Mm. It's a good weapon to bring on.
It's a great weapon to bring on.
As opposed to a second gamer or.
No doubt these guys, and we talk about credit sometimes. These senior guys that get opportunity, and maybe he's had a couple of weeks of that, and it's just been a slow build where you're still not there. You're at this point now. You may get three quarters tonight. You may get one, but it's just. It's just where some are at, unfortunately, with their form.
Going on the history this year, it's actually been on the escalator. You go ground, sub, VFL.
Yeah.
So he's going to have to do well if he gets an opportunity to avoid that final plummet.
That's right.
This is the AFL Nation pregame show for Beaumont Tiles. Beaumont have everyday low-priced tiles from 1995. Friday night footy, the Western Bulldogs and Essendon. It's a matchup that gets more intriguing all the time. We're not too far away from our preview with Jared Healy and Brad Johnson, but maybe kick around a few other bits and pieces first. So Tim Taranto suffered a fractured wrist today, surgery for him, mid-term injury by the sound of it. They're threadbare, the tie. They can't take a trick.
How stiff in your first year of coach that you got the light of Lynch coming back, and then he's injured again, and the key players that have just unfortunately not in his lineup at the moment. And I watched them live last week in the first half. I thought, wow, this is pretty cool for a young team, the way they played and their flow of the ball, and then they just had that poor third quarter where St Kilda were able to get on top of them, which is going to happen now because they're just so young and inexperienced.
Did they get it done against the Eagles?
Bit of pressure on the Eagles now.
Yeah,
there is actually more on the Eagles.
Yeah, better win a game, boys.
There is now with Taranto out of the team and the depth in their midfield. The West Coast Eagles should be going into this one thinking, "Yep, this is our one to win."
Mm. Yeah,
they played well last week. They really took it up the Swans. Swans were nowhere near their best, but nevertheless, it was their best showing for a fair period of time. So they'd be going home and looking at this one, thinking, "Well, if we can't beat the Tigers when they're that wounded." Who are we going
to
beat?
I did like Adam Uze said. I'm every chance to just have Dusty go stand next to, next to Reed at the first bounce, just for the theatre,
definitely
of the game.
Just have a don't argue.
We're all looking for it. That we're all tuning in, aren't we? At the opening bounce, just to see what happens. And he goes, you might even go up and just give him a tap on the back and say, "Good luck, son."
Harley may go up to him and say, "Can you sign my autograph book?"
Harley might go up and push him.
Harley could.
Harley's the kind of confident kid that might just go up and give him one early.
Do you think at the end of the game, Harley goes up and says, "Mate, can I have your jumper?"
Yeah.
Mike Carvin say, "Do you want my jumper?" Oh, yes, Dusty might ask for his.
He's looking all right, Harley.
Yeah, he looked fantastic. Yeah. He was great to watch. I mean, going up there and watching them, just watching him on the telly, it was spellbinding, really, just to see. And I think he's energised the club, not just himself and not just the team, but it would appear as if the club and the team are thinking, "Oh, okay, here we go."
Were the club waiting for that, though, to be energised, if you know what I mean? Like that one half or quarter where he was just phenomenal.
Not sure they were waiting for it, but it just seems to, certainly the team, I mean, it's hard to sort of justify the club claw, but the team were definitely energised by this kid over the last few weeks.
How did you read the Jeremy Finlayson suspension? Now that it's all said and done at 3 weeks.
Yeah, I think 3 weeks is the start point for whatever happens beyond that now. Hopefully nothing ever happens like that ever again, Jared, and we all sit in that. But reality is it could at some point. So we know now that it will be a huge suspension off the back of if it does happen again. Were you happy with where it sat for the 3 weeks?
Yeah, and I think if you read between the lines, it would have been six if he denied it.
That's
or
right.
If he'd not self-reported, although the Essendon players had already reported him. But yes, had he not been remorseful and convincing on that front, I think it would have been six this time around.
Yes. Yeah, I agree with that.
Complicated by the Clarkson issue.
Yeah, really complicated by the Clarkson issue. I think it complicated the whole... It complicated, the whole discussion around it, and it was unfortunate that they came up with that decision, but they did. And
so why didn't they go stronger with Clarko?
I'm not sure, Dwayne, to be honest. I mean, I think the starting point is Tex Walker six? So is that the right...
Well,
was that the right level?
Well, if Tex Walker is the right level, then you've got to look at the two things and say, okay, homophobia and racism, you can't have one outweighing the other. I mean, you're born the way you are, and equality is something we're trying to achieve with everything. So if you're born the way you are and we're accepting of that, then how can you differentiate between the two? But that's just my point of view. Now, whether Tex deserves six or not, once you give Tex six, as you guys were saying with the precedent, you've given Tex six, okay. How are you going to address the next issue that comes your way and the next issue that really came their way? They gave a fine. Clarko.
Yeah, and it was, you know, any fair-minded person would say those two things don't add up, particularly when, I mean, it's a big fine for your average person, but Clarko's on a big ticket.
Mm.
So it's not changing his life as compared to missing 2 to 4 weeks.
The 4 years for Errol Goulden. We could have had 10 elsewhere.
Well, it's a great signing for him, and it's a great signing for the Swans. I don't think there was any chance that the 10 was going to get up, even though it's good for the managers to say you've got 10, and I'm not saying it's make-believe. But I think 4 is a fantastic base for him to, you know, achieve what he needs to achieve, and then hopefully the next one is the final contract he signs with the Swans, and if he's in a position to go elsewhere or his form drops off or whatever it is, he's not locked into some 10-year deal that would put enormous pressure on a person, I think, and maybe disincentivise them. I know these deals are done over in the States everywhere, but I love Errol Goulden. I don't think he's had his best season. I don't think he's in the All-Australian side that Jono thinks he's in.
Mm-hmm.
His last couple of weeks have been very good.
Your club's got an unfair advantage though, Jared. Because you got the best facilities just about in the AFL, which are right next door to the ground you play at. You've got a club that's stable. You've got a coach that's been there forever. And you've got an academy where the coach gets to know the kids from the age of 11. I mean, what a beautiful world you've created up there in Sydney.
Yeah, well, I don't think I had too much to do with it.
No, but
the one thing
you put a brick into that foundation.
Where the Swans have been really poor is father sons.
Right.
They just have been really, really average in their planning with the father and sons. And
Didn't help. You had three daughters.
That's right. As Amit Bain said, they're very happy with their father and sons. I'm sure Geelong and Collingwood are very happy with their father and sons. But they don't seem to get factored into the argument when academies get discussed.
Well, I had a caller today wanted his whole team gelded. But that would ruin father-sons going forward, wouldn't it? So it wouldn't do the club any good at all.
He was all in, balls and all.
The Hyundai Staria load van fits in everything from 49-490. Drive away, T's and C's apply. Sam Walsh gets to start his season this
good,
week.
It's good, isn't it? It just gets stronger for the Blues. And, you know, I just hope you live in hope a little bit, players coming back from longer-term injuries, that he's successful in his first hit out. Game two is always the one that I look at more closer because you're coming off the freshness and and you've been belted around a little bit. Get through that, and then I think his season will be well and truly away. But what an addition to Carlton midfield. And
I mean, the one area they're struggling with is clearance. And, I mean, he's a clearance beast. He's a great transition player as well.
Oh, his transition run is in the top couple in the competition.
Yep. Now, they're going well, the Blues. And... it's an important game for them again this week.
How did Fremantle handle their week, did you think?
I thought they were superb. I think the coaches had a great year. I think diffusing the whole debate around the umpires was A, the only thing that you should be doing, and B, it took... I thought he handled it particularly well. I mean, they've popped and popped well. Whether they can sustain it is nobody knows, but they're going well. I think their recruiting's been fantastic. If you look, you go through their drafting, it's been superb in over the last 4 to 5 years. Haven't missed too many. Really nailed a couple, like Fast Freddy at 61. Picks 7, 8, 9, I think it was, in the 2019 draft. Hayden Young, Caleb Sarong, and Liam Henry, who's ended up going to St Kilda. But, I mean, we know he can play, and so too did their recruiting. Brayshaw and is it Carlton now that came from Fremantle?
Akers?
Yes, on the wing.
Who's it?
Blake Akers.
No. He was not Kilda. Akers. No, higher than that. He was number 5 draft pick. Names escape me all of a sudden.
Oh, Chera.
Chera.
Yeah.
I mean, what I'm saying is their identification of talent has been outstanding. They've gone and got Luke Jackson as well. So I think they've built this list that can take them a hell of a long way.
The coach has got more conviction, I think, in the way that he's talking and the way that he's approaching some of the topics, where there was a lot of and ahs and you just sort of sat back a little bit. He's just I think his maturity as a coach has gone to another level, and I think that's having an impact on the players, but also in the way that he is perceived in the footy community as well.
Winning does that for you.
Second even
time around does
that.
It for you too, doesn't it? You get to learn from a few of your mistakes when you're the second time around. Mm.
And the one thing that we mentioned this during the week, but last 2 weeks ago, he said after the game, he's implored his players to embrace the boredom and the monotony of the season. And I'm thinking to myself, my God.
We had a laugh at that, didn't we?
We did. It's round 3, you're 3-0. Life is fantastic. Why would you be even thinking about that? Why would any of the players? I mean, you know, having not won a lot of games in my early years as a footballer, when we went up to Sydney and won 6 in a row, there was no mention of boredom or monotony. I can give it a drum.
All right, the umpires are out onto Marvel Stadium as we count down to Friday night footy. AFL Nation is for 4 and 20 Pies, Australia's original fan food and Repco authorised service. Round 5 began with the Lions victorious over the Demons last night for teams 2 and 2. This is a critical 4 points. Jono's deemed it a separator. So never mind the 8 points, it's a separator. There might only be room in the 8 for one of these 2 teams at the end of the year. So what transpires in the next 3 hours will play a major role in how it all shakes out. The AFL Nation pregame show for Beaumont Tiles. Beaumonts have everyday low price tiles from 1995. The lights have gone out here at Marvel. The light show for the Bulldogs about to take hold, and then they'll take it to the Bombers, who they have beaten in 9 of their previous 10 matches. Does that stranglehold continue tonight?